If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And I'm Eve Kavanagh.
And you're listening to Agony Rants.
So, Gerard.
Hello.
An interesting thing occurred to you last week and we were just chatting about it. And then I've been thinking about it all week.
Go on.
And that is, why do we always sit on the same side of each other?
It's weird, isn't it?
It's like an old married couple. It's like we can't sit on the other side.
Is this your side of the bed?
Yeah.
Is it? I'm left-hand side of the bed. Always.
So are you feeling displaced now?
A little bit, yeah. I don't know why we do this. Why do we do this?
Well, I don't know. It's just how we started. So it seems...
How it started, how it's going.
Yeah, you know, but I think... Is there not a fear? Like, it's a bit like, I like to sleep near the door. That's what I usually do when I go places. It's not the side of the bed.
Is that now, is that fear of fire? Fear of assassin?
No.
Murderer?
No. It actually started, believe it or not, after I had the kids. So I liked to be nearer the door in case I got up at night.
Oh.
I know that sounds very, I don't, I'm, that generally
see,
is
when
the way.
You said that, I thought you meant when I had the kids, I like to be near the door because I never know.
Because I want to get away.
I need to leave. I need to get out of here.
No, because we actually moved bedroom. When I think about it, we moved bedroom to make sure we were at the top of the stairs so they couldn't get past us.
But it's
nothing to do with the fact of their safety. It's all to do with the fact that if they get near the fridge, you feck all the next day. But it's better now. They're older. It's not the same. But weirdly, we still sleep on the same side of the bed. It's weird. And we did try to change it, but it feels wrong. It feels like putting on your trousers on back to front.
My partner, my bed just about fits in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not great.
I know that because I was there, because I can't use the main bathroom because of boots, right?
So Niamh would like pop in and we'd be asleep. Yeah. So you see, when I bought all of my furniture, when I bought my apartment, I didn't measure anything.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah. And then like nothing fit. Like I have an L-shaped couch in a room that really can't accommodate it. And I have a bed.
I actually really like it.
Well, I mean, that's the only place it works.
Oh, you know, you mean...
Like, it doesn't fit anywhere else.
You can't move it anywhere.
There's no choice.
You don't have a summer and winter setting for your room.
I know, yeah. Like, one of my friends, they had an apartment, and when they bought their couch, right, they were convinced it would fit, and then it didn't. So they had to send it back to the shop, and like, what will we do? And then what they did was, they got their two fathers to call over on the same day, and then they got the person, the shop, to deliver it to the roundabout beside their apartment, and then they threw ropes over the balcony and they pulled it up and took it in the window. Have you ever had anything more butch in your life?
Amazing.
I know.
Did you want to try and change that and see what happens?
No, I think we have our sides now and we should.
We have our sides, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I'm used to the camera angles.
I know. Yeah. I know. I'm well aware.
I know, yeah. It's a whole lot of work that needs to be done. And I only get it done on one side of my face. Why would you pay for filler and Botox on both sides of your face if you're only going to be shot on one side?
You're walking into show up.
It's 50%. It's 50%, Niamh.
Just 50% be camera aware.
Niamh, it's been quite a week.
I've been
minding my mother's dog, right? Now, you see, my mum and dad's dog, that is by far the most precious child they have.
Yes, no, without a doubt.
No question.
Without a doubt.
Now, she's 13 years of age.
Yeah.
So, you know, every wheeze is a little palpitation for me.
To be honest with you. No. Yeah.
And she's a very interesting dog because she's stone deaf.
Okay.
Right? She can't hear a thing. So this morning I had to walk her before I was leaving their house. But like she was fast asleep on their bed. And I was like banging the bed going, come on. Come on now, up you go. Like she's still fast asleep. I'm like, I don't know, how am I going to wake this dog? Like,
you were hoping she was fast asleep.
No, she was like.
does she ever go?
Yeah, then she stops and like, that's it. That's the end. There we go.
You're okay with that as long as it doesn't happen on your watch.
I know. I don't want anything to happen on my watch. Oh. And like they adore her and she's a lovely dog. Now, I mean, she does have the worst name in the world. Right.
What's her name?
Her name, She's 13 years of age, right? Okay. So back in 2010 when they first got her, right? They were like, we got a dog. He's absolutely gorgeous, right? We've called him Spencer.
He.
And for ages, they thought it was a boy dog.
How long is ages?
It was a few months. Now, I did go over at one point, right? And I was tickling his belly. What I thought was his belly, but it turns out it was her belly. I was tickling a belly and I was just looking down. I was like,
There's some essentials missing here. There's no willy.
Now, I don't know whether it was my own insecurity, maybe because I'm the gay son. You don't want to go to your parents and go, the dog hasn't got much of a dick. Because it just feels like a... You know, like you imagine the worst case scenario of your mom going, Geraint, why were you looking at the dog's dick? Like, a human dick's not enough for you, Geraint. Like, so...
Geraint, clean.
I know, but I was just like... So I was kind of like, I don't think it's a man. But then I didn't know how to have the conversation, so I didn't have it. I just didn't have it.
Okay.
And then a couple of months later, they had her at the vet. And the vet was like, it's a girl.
But maybe...
Your dog's a girl.
Spencer identifies.
Absolutely. As is her prerogative.
As is their prerogative.
Their, right?
They, them, there.
Now... Here's the thing.
Okay, here's the thing.
I don't think... I thought, okay, well, that was a funny thing that happened in the life of Spencer. But my mother was just like, well, we can't call her Spencer.
Oh, she changed her name.
Because Spencer's a boy's name. But you can't change a dog's name after a certain amount of time. So what my mom did was she...
What did she do?
This is deranged.
Lady Spencer.
Right, she calls it Lady Spencer.
Like Lady Diana?
Yeah. Which is how she explains it.
Oh, Jesus. Wept.
As tribute to Princess Diana. But before she met the royals, because things went, you know, things went quite south.
That's a joke.
That is not a joke. I wish that was a joke. So that was the narrative at the time.
Nobody does that.
I swear to God, that was the narrative at the time, right? And at the time, I thought...
In 2010, very highly controversial.
Highly controversial. Highly controversial. So at the time I would hear this explanation go, this is really unnecessary. Like all of this.
We thought it was a boy and it's a girl.
But then we continued to just call her Spencer. She's just called Spencer. But the problem is whenever there's any official situation, and there was a couple of weeks ago because I was there when my mom rang the vet.
What did she say?
And obviously the vet was like, what's the name? And she's like, it's Lady Spencer. It's just like, are we still doing this? Like 13 years. Like people call their dogs Yelp. They call them Spot. Like it doesn't.
But you know, the interesting thing is our first dog was called Maddie, right? And for the first few weeks, she was called Dot because myself and my in-laws, we got sister dogs. So one of them had a dot and one of them didn't. So we figured out which one we were going to have by who got the dot and who didn't. So we called her Dot for a little bit. But the reality is she was never a dot to me. So she was Maddie, and this is my first dog. So I was naming her. So she was Maddie. Maddie was her name. Loved Maddie. She was called in her lifetime Madge, you mad bitch. You know, Maddie, Madge, Marge. Dog, you know, they answer to anything if there's food or activity in it. You can actually change a dog's name. However, it does take consistency.
Yeah.
However, if I was going down the line, Lady Spencer wouldn't have been where I
went. Lady Spencer's not great. Like, it's not great.
No.
But even like, and the dog is not, like, the behavior now wouldn't be the best.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, when we arrive at the house, like the sky falls because somebody else has come into the house and she's like, I need attention.
Oh,
she's
rolling of course. Naturally.
All of this sort of stuff. And where I was like, Jesus, this dog now could do a bit of training. But a man would be like, there are some behavioral issues, but like, she had a very rough start. It's like, no, she didn't. You had a rough start. Like, the dog isn't traumatized by being misgendered for 3 months when she was like...
Totally unaware of.
She's completely unaware of it. She had a very rough start.
But the thing is, there is a responsibility when you're looking after other people's dogs, right?
Oh, there is.
And no matter how relaxed, because I'm very relaxed about looking after dogs because I've had dogs, right? And I love them and the dogs love me. But immediately it's somebody else's dog. You just... you lose all lack of trust in your facility to actually look at
everyone. I know.
And you spend your whole time going, holy God, what have we done?
And you just, yeah, you just, and you just do everything you're supposed to do. Like my mom, like, I was like, okay, what do I feed her? Like,
oh, did you get a little list?
Yeah, of course.
And a bag with all the things.
Like we have, you know, it's the food that the vet recommends. Oh, not for Spencer.
What Spencer?
Spencer eats like Lady Di.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Spencer gets cooked chicken every evening. Cooked chicken and 2 scrambled eggs.
You had to cook Spencer's dinner?
Yeah. Like, because Boots were like, oh, feed the cat, pour the thing.
Yeah.
Throw it on the floor.
Yeah, but now.
But this is like you're scrambling eggs for a dog that's looking at you. Like, this is the stressful bit of it. I was slightly late with the dinner because she gets fed a half.
Oh, no,
four.
And they're worse than old people for that.
4:45. She's barking at me. Yeah. I'm scrambling yeah, eggs. I was just like, this is absolutely
scrambling
insane.
Eggs, scrambling the eggs. Yeah,
I feel like I'm in Gordon Ramsay's kitchen.
They're worse than old people for that. They like literally know. They can't tell the time of day except when it's time to eat or time to go for their walk. If you do a regular walk. I used to confuse my dogs and not go at the same time every day. So they were never guaranteed. They lived on their nerves the whole time in my car. But it's really weird. Now when people hand you their pets, there is a list. And I love it. I love
how people are invested in their
and
pets.
And I
it's
absolutely
gorgeous.
Love looking after them. It's so fun, you know. And we've had many different breeds now through, including golden retrievers and all that, who are beautiful, beautiful animals. But boy, do they shed. And, you know, when you're in the middle of having dogs, it's great. You know, you don't really pay any attention to that. But when you don't have any dogs, you're aware how little hair is around your house.
And I know,
secondly, more importantly, how much food you actually drop on the floor. Because if you have dogs, that doesn't actually, nothing ever hits the floor.
Exactly, yeah.
You didn't say whether Spencer survived you.
She did. All well and good. Like, I walked her this morning, came in here, and then I'm going to go back now.
Oh, you left her unattended?
She's unattended.
Oh.
Yeah, she's unattended. Mm-hmm. Like, she's unattended, asleep on a, you know, my parents' bed.
On a throne.
Yeah, well, they bought steps.
Of course they did.
They bought steps to go up the end of the bed.
Of course they did.
Oh, I don't know. Sure, I was a toddler. I was like, oh, mommy, daddy, lift me. We're asleep.
Out.
You have a bed in the box. Go back to the box room, please.
You had a rough start.
I had a rough start. Attention, Agony Rants listeners. I am back on tour.
Shocker.
Back on tour. I'll be on tour until February. We're booking loads of dates in for after Christmas, but it'll be ending in February. Enough is enough.
I'm already looking at my phone, don't worry about it.
If you want to come and see me, I will be in Naas. I'll be in Sligo on the 3rd of November. I will be in Iontas in Monaghan on the 24th of November, I think it's that weekend. For the love of God, the people of Monaghan were like, we'd love you to come, Gerald. The show went on sound. They said, we've actually changed our mind. We've had a town meeting. You're unwelcome. But yeah, I'll be on tour for the next couple of months, and I'm really looking forward to it. I also have shows in Thurles. I've got shows. They're announcing a date in Longford.
I'm loving the fact that he's looking at my face as if it's written on it.
Yeah, I should have been more prepared for this. But anyway, we're having a lovely time.
We are.
We're delivering babies left, right and centre.
Oh my God, don't stop that. Stop that.
And and I'd love you to come. GeraldFarrelly.com for tickets. I'm also, another mistake, huge mistake.
Huge?
Sold out show in Brighton. We put a second night on. Huge mistake. As it happens, the capacity of the venue and people that have any interest in me in Brighton, that number is exactly the same.
Perfect.
The first one sold like cupcakes. The second one, they're like, no. Enough is enough.
You're taking it too far now.
If you want to get tickets, GeraldFarrelly.com. Oh, there is also a link in my Instagram bio to anything that has tickets on sale. And there is capacity. So the sold out shows are not there. So you won't be wasting your time. That's a good plug, wasn't it?
It was amazing.
Yeah, fantastic.
I'd go.
Yeah. I'm not, but I would.
You can listen to our wonderful podcast ad-free if you subscribe to Headstuff Plus over on headstuffpodcasts.com.
We are pausing for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
If you don't know that in 101 shows, I don't know.
I really fear for you.
Yeah.
We would love you to become a member of Head Stuff Plus because that is how we earn money from the show. We don't earn money.
Not a single penny.
But we have just launched our brand new bonus show. It's available to subscribers along with all of the bonus content from all of the shows on the Head Stuff Podcast Network. Also, what you will get is an ad-free version of this show.
Yes.
So I think that's worth it because we've got more ads in.
I know. We might make some money out of that. But
yeah, we might.
We'd prefer to have subscribers.
We would prefer to have subscribers. Absolutely.
Because we don't want to have to trade our integrity for hard-earned cash.
Niamh doesn't want to trade her integrity for hard-earned cash. I have no problem with it. Absolutely none whatsoever. I have no integrity whatsoever. I'm all about the cash.
Give us the cash.
On the table.
Show me the money.
Show me the money. In the interest of collaboration and the spirit of, I guess, not show me the money, we are here to promote another show on the Head Stuff Podcast Network, Phoning It In. It is a great show. It's an improvised radio show.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like Joe Duffy with comedians. It's hilarious. It is very funny.
It is very funny.
Hello, my name is Dave Coffey and I'm the host of Phoning It In, the hilarious improvised phone-in show. It's like Joe Duffy's Liveline, except we make it all up on the spot. We've got a back catalogue of over 100 episodes featuring some of the best comedy performers in the country. People like Kevin McGahern, Alison Spittle, Killian Sunderman, Shane Dan Byrne, Joanne McNally, Michael Fry, Emma Doran, Peter McGann, Hannah Mamelis, Tony Cantwell, and so many more. Join me, Dave Coffey, for Phoning It In right here on the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Niamh, we have a follow-up.
Oh, tell me about the follow-up. I'm very excited.
Do you want to read the follow-up?
Yes, I will. I will. Because usually I have to read the follow-ups and I tell you why. Because Grode never remembers any of them. I always have to remind him.
You make all the right noises,
I have to remind. I know. I'm the most sympathetic. So, I don't have much of an update for you.
Oh, well, we'll move on.
Well, that's promising. I wrote a while ago about my in-laws coming to stay from America. We employed all of your advice and more. And while it did, I'm sure, make it better. Oh, that doesn't bode well. They were still here and having a go at us and still whinging. I actually remember this.
I do. Is this?
Do you remember there
were... She doesn't say
she
it in this, but I think this was... Was this the... Would, like, was this something to do with Lucan?
Might have been. They were looking for things to do and they weren't sure. She was, I mean, she was looking to maybe leave him or move out or some such thing. I don't know. Anyway, she was
looking to leave?
No. She just wasn't looking forward to the in-law situation.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so they are absolutely unbearable, she says. I have never been so happy to see two people walk through the departure gates. I found myself hoping it would fall into the Atlantic. Wow. But it didn't. At least my husband made it very clear we are never, ever moving to America anon. Right now, I'm going to tell you, that's the best your advice meant nothing to us follow-up we've ever had. Because actually, I get it. You can't make us a silk purse out of a sow's ear. If those people are abominable, there's nothing. You just have to get through that visit and then say, thank Christ. There's a reason your partner lives with you in Ireland when he comes from America.
Yeah. There's a reason he left those people behind.
Yeah. And he had a rough start.
Yeah. And every couple of years, he's reminded of it.
Yes. And that's not a bad thing. That's okay. I mean, you're going to have times, you just have to learn how to actually survive.
I wonder what her advice was. Like, I mean, in that situation, I'd imagine you stuck up on the gin and tonic.
Yeah. You definitely would have recommended alcohol. I'd be very surprised if you didn't.
God.
Yeah, I'm going to find that now and figure out what we actually said. But I'm nearly sure we tried to encourage you to just fill their time and hope to God that it wouldn't be as bad as you thought. But clearly...
Or get them out into a hotel. Get them, you know, you should go to Connemara.
Yeah, without us.
On a bus.
We'll visit
for
you.
For 2 weeks. 2 weeks won't be enough.
Be on the bus for 2 weeks? Or?
Yeah. Well, it depends on where you go in Connemara.
Yeah, okay. That's yeah,
go to Connemara in 2 weeks. I'll see the Aran Islands. Oh, a week won't be enough.
Do you know when when you're gigging in Galway, right, and you get to, you say you're going gigging in Clifton, which is beautiful and it's a brilliant place and all. I used to gig there years and years ago, and you used to get into Galway City and think, yes, I'm in Galway, but you still have another hour or so to get to Clifton.
It's like Cork. You know the way you drive, like if you're out in Bantry or something, you drive for 2 hours, you're still in Cork.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Cork is the same.
Like,
you're right.
Oh, I'm still in Cork.
Because it's
like
big.
The sat-nav says I'm halfway home, but I'm still in Cork.
Well, there's a reason they think it should be the capital.
I mean, to be honest with you, they're not wrong.
Oh, are you trying to sell tickets in Cork now?
I am. Every man, 20th of October. Come down, Corkonians. You delicious group of people.
I know. Amazing, amazing.
Niamh, we've a problem.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hey, Garrod and Niamh. Love you both, and I'm going to see Glamham. Excuse me? Glamham?
Yeah.
Shortened. How dare you? I'm going to see Glamham next month and can't wait. Glamham is, that is just...
No, come on. That's really nice. And look, can't wait is in capitals.
All you are is a sparkly bit of meat.
I bet.
Oh, actually, I'll take that.
Sparkly bit of meat.
Glamham. I'm going to see Glamham next month and I can't wait. Still waiting on that album, Niamh.
Okay. There's a lot of exclamation marks after that.
It's on the way.
Yeah, okay.
It's on the way. She's in. She's recording furiously. I'm in a small-scale pickle in comparison to some of what you get on the reg. My housemate has begun watching every Eurovision since the... Oh, move out. Like... I can't be ding
Garrod.
Fucking I
couldn't. Come on, anyway. He's a long way to go if he's getting ding a dong. Right, come on, anyway.
My housemate has begun watching every Eurovision since the very beginning on the TV in our rented house. I was on board at first. I'm a Eurovision fan. But they've started getting longer and longer year on year. And we've just got to 1991 tonight, which is almost 3.5 hours
yeah,
long.
Yeah, but there's a reason for that, right? It was in Rome, right? If I remember rightly. Is it 91? It was in Rome. And your man who won it the year before was part of the presenter and the sets were falling down and everything. It was a complete disaster that year.
Oh, really?
And that's why when you get to my year, they had a very strict time frame. I got to tell you now, it's gone down to 3 hours very fast.
So who won in 1991? Do we know anything, any songs from it?
Possibly you're putting me under pressure.
Was
now.
That Samantha Janis?
No.
A message to your
she
heart.
Definitely did not win.
Oh, she didn't win.
No,
she didn't win.
No, she didn't win.
Oh, but she didn't win, but it's worth a watch on YouTube to see why.
But you know the presenter, Toto, which I think he may or may not be still alive, but he actually basically... I'm not sure if I saw a headline that he was dead or maybe it was just his career. I'm not sure. But anyway, he said recently, he was like notorious on that. I'm going to see who won in 1991. And I have a funny feeling. I should know it probably, but, you know, because we're all in the same club, obviously. It was Sweden. Corolla, Stormvind. Great song.
Oh, was that Captured by a Love Storm?
Yeah.
Captured by your love storm.
Yeah, well, I sang it in Swedish when I did mine.
Did you?
You remember I did them? Oh, how soon we forget.
Oh, you did?
Vangad av stormvind, or whatever it is.
Wow.
I have to, you know, remind myself how to actually pronounce that. Anyway, that's who won. Anyway.
She was great. Now, what was her name again?
Doesn't even want to watch this on TV and now we're actually talking about it. So let's move on.
What Carola?
Corolla, she's brilliant.
Yeah, she's very good. Didn't she have that other song?
That other song, will you stop that?
The one that she went, you know, she went back and she lost.
No, but did she go back or was it, did she did it beforehand?
Oh, no, I think it was a, no, I think she did a later one.
Oh, like other winners.
Like other winners.
Move on. Yeah. Move on.
Who, you know.
Move on.
It's the expectation, you know. It's not great.
Okay. Listen, this guy doesn't Invincible. Even want to watch these.
Invincible!
I'm pretty sure she didn't sing it like that.
That's exactly how it sounds, Niamh.
You know, Owen doesn't actually, seriously, Owen, in an exclamation mark, or in, what do they call them?
Inverted commas.
Inverted commas, right? Not my real name, Ovs, right? He doesn't even want to watch these Eurovisions and we're talking about them for 20 minutes. Anyway, okay, go on.
It's his fault. You can't say Eurovision on this podcast and not expect a conversation.
That's true.
Now I know we're getting to our glory days for a while, v soon, including Sonia's near win.
What?
But he's, I love the way he's playing this. But he just said that he wants to watch all the semi-finals once they come up and the various special episodes.
Special episode?
What's a special episode?
I don't know. Anyway.
I feel like I'm going to kill him. If I have to endure another Italian ballad or whimsical Yugoslavian performance. But I don't know how to get it to the end without falling out. To get to the end without falling out with him. Please help.
Okay. I have a very simple solution, Owen. Very quickly. Insist that you will watch all the finals but no semifinals.
Yeah. Semifinals are your own
if
business.
If he wants to do the semifinals, let him off.
Yeah.
Right. Second of all, you need to enlist other people involved in the situation or create very serious boundaries here.
Now, do you know what I'm going to be a little bit nitpicky about here?
Oh.
He says my housemate.
Okay.
He's not your friend. He didn't say friend.
He's no relation.
He's no relation. If he, like, watch it in your room, please.
Yeah. I suspect this is what happened.
Go on.
His mate says, you like Eurovision. I like Eurovision. How about we watch the Eurovisions initially when there's only 7 or 8 countries involved? Yay! That sounds like fun.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Now suddenly it's getting, the shit's getting real, as they say. It's getting really serious now. Things are getting longer and now you're invested in something that might actually take away the love that you have for it.
You've got another between 90 and 100 hours
before
you're finished this.
You really, really do.
That's a lot.
I'll be honest with you, Owen. In a couple of weeks, you or whenever the next time when you get to 1993, you will actually see more of that Eurovision than I have ever had, and I was in it. I've never watched my Eurovision. You know, I watch Eurovision every year. I love it, and I usually end up watching the semi-finals because I get called.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But what I do is I record them sometimes if I'm working, and I go
speed through. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nobody needs to see like
nobody needs to see the fillers.
Nobody needs to see the Amsterdam postcard.
No,
you know what I mean. But also, you can take a break. You know, like you can just be like, ah, here, listen, this is the belly full of Eurovision.
Is this every night?
You know, I'll tell you
is
what,
this every night?
Oh, he doesn't say whether it's every night.
Is it every night or is it just one night a week?
Do you know, I'll tell you what my problem is, right? And this happens with the Eurovision, right? Is that you can watch, you watch an episode.
Yeah.
And it's almost like years have, I guess it's what's hot that year. And like some years it's like, you know, Wittering Woman sitting on floor with no shoes on. Like,
what,
and you're like, oh, Jesus wept, another one. Like, can we, like, just please, for the love of God, stop. I think.
You can usually find out actually what the trend's going to be based on who won the year before.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what you should do is maybe just, either say it to him, just like, oh, come here, listen, I can't be dealing with this. I think I'm out. Fair enough.
Obviously wait till 93.
After, Niamh, there's no question.
And you got to watch Riverdance. But just Riverdance.
You've got to watch Riverdance in case, you know, you've never seen it before. Francis Ruffel was very good that year.
There was a lot of very good actually that year.
No, there wasn't.
Okay.
Not if you watch it back, Niamh.
I haven't even watched my own. What's the chances? What's the chances I'm going back?
But like, I think that if you, you can just say to him, listen, I'm out. Or what you could do is say it and go and dip in.
I would definitely
put
boundaries.
Stick it on. And you get a phone call for 2 hours. Or yeah. Or you're on your iPad, or you're for every Eurovision that you watch,
yeah,
you should watch something else that you're into that you want him to watch, like a pop idol or a, I don't know, you know.
Well, he says he's a Eurovision man, but I'm a Eurovision fan, but I don't want to watch all the old Eurovisions.
Absolutely,
you know, that's the truth. I don't. You know, I know it takes a certain kind of fan that loves to watch all the Eurovisions, and they do it in conventions and it's really fun when they're all doing it together. Just generally watching it all. But isn't it a bit like, you know, when you kind of get into a series on Netflix or on Amazon and then you binge watch and you keep going from one to the other because it automatically goes into the other. And you're sometimes you wonder, are you watching it? And you're more invested in than others. There'll be times when you'll really love the show and then times you'll be going, God, let this be over.
You see, it depends on when you're watching it. If you're watching the Eurovision, an old Eurovision, on a Saturday night.
For the crack.
With a couple of gin and tonics for the crack.
With your mates.
Great. But if you're watching it on a Tuesday at 7 o'clock while you're making the dinner, that's a different ballgame.
Yeah, no, it is.
Do you know what I mean?
To be
that's
fair,
a different.
I'm going
to
flip that a little different bit in energy. The head. If you're watching the Eurovision with a gin and tonic regularly on a Saturday night, old Eurovisions on a Saturday night, and you're young enough, I'm going to question your life choices.
Yeah, maybe you need to get out a bit more.
You know. be on the Tuesday. Make it on a night, an off night, so that you can actually, you don't mind, you're not doing anything else anyway.
Yeah.
That's the way forward. Sorry, Grudge.
And also, I'll tell you, yeah, do you know what? Make it a Thursday night thing.
Yeah.
And do you know what the other thing you should do? Mm. And this, I think, is the most important bit.
Okay.
I don't think it should be the two of you watching them.
No, you need more.
Yeah, you need more.
The joy of your vision is to watch it.
Especially not if it's a housemate.
It's different if you...
Me and my housemate are watching... No. No, no, no.
But maybe they're friendly. Maybe they get on.
Now, also maybe, like, let's spice this up a bit, Owen. Maybe he wants to spend a lot of time with you. It's 3 hours at a time. You're both in your jammies sitting on the couch.
Owen, you just... Garo just made that weird. You will never be able to watch another Eurovision with him.
Because it wasn't weird before that. But maybe you don't know. Like, your man, like, if maybe, you know, your housemate's asking for a time commitment.
Oh. But actually, it is more fun the more people watch it. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Like, I definitely think Eurovision should be a Thursday night thing. A couple of mates round. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
But, like, you know. What is it? What's seldom is wonderful. If Owen is this susceptible to this man, this man's whims, what's next, Owen? You never know.
I'm not even going to answer that question.
Before you know it, you could be watching, like, I don't know, Dallas. Or, you know.
Dallas, I'd say that aged well.
Do you know what actually I was watching on YouTube, right? Do you remember that Australian soap? Chances.
No.
It was on Sky when we were kids,
I don't,
right?
I don't now, care how many times you're going to tell me this.
We were never allowed to watch it because, like, it was they were trying to bill it as this erotic soap.
It was risque.
It was like, to say there was nothing erotic about this. It was like, but it was one of those banana soaps that was like, they had man-eating plants and, like, it was bonkers, but it was called Chances.
Okay.
And I was writing something during the week and I remembered it. So I went on a kind of a bit of a YouTube trawl to find clips from Chances. It's bonkers.
Is it so bad it's good, or is it?
Like, it started off as like a sexy neighbors, but by the end it was like a cross between Little Shop of Horrors and Twin Peaks, and like it was absolutely batshit crazy. There was like, at one point there was, you know, they found like a necklace that would turn somebody into a sun goddess. Like, it was. And this was, and it started like Coronation Street, like.
Yeah, but.
And then it went mad.
But how, you know, when you say it started like a sexy neighbours, what's sexier than, you know, Jason Donovan and Kylie Minogue?
Like? I know, but it was like Jason Donovan, but like they'd get a massage. But like it would be like 5 minutes of somebody getting their shoulder rubbed. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't, there was nothing sexy.
Wasn't all
it.
You were hoping for.
It was a soap, so there was no happy ending. Oh, let us know who you get on.
Oh, this is not a big problem. You're right. You did say that. It's not a big problem. But you know,
but also it's a significant one, because I know what it's like if you're coming home and you're like, oh, because I'm like that in semi-final week when I'm coming home. I'm just like, I'm going to have to watch 2 hours of Eurovision now on Tuesday. Like, okay.
Would you say your partner's a bigger Eurovision fan than you?
Massive.
Is that why he's so nice to me when I come in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise he'd have no time for me.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd just say it to me when you're there. Niamh Cavan is an air shower. Yeah.
I'll be thinking that next time. Yeah.
Loves the Eurovision. Loves it.
I know. Well.
Niamh, we've another problem.
I love it. Come on.
Do you want to read?
Grode. I am loving the pod with Niamh. She is so wise.
Is she indeed?
Yes. Thank you, Dean. You are so funny in Carlo. I genuinely thought I would die laughing. Such a great night. You had a different reaction to the girl.
To the poor woman. Yeah. Yeah. I rattled a baby out of her.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
I don't think I'm going to call myself that from now on. I'm a baby rattler.
Oh.
Like, if you're if you're over 38 weeks pregnant and you need.
Yeah. That's not your.
I'm like raspberry leaf tea.
No.
That's what I am.
No offense. But that's not your demographic, okay? Okay, I've just started listening and I am in heaven. I have been on an agony rants binge for the past week. This has come at the right time because I just had a big row with my mother. We have never fought in the past, but we had a big argument 3 months ago and it's still not resolved. Aww. Oh, Dean, I'm so sorry. Okay, let's see what this problem is. My father passed away suddenly last November and we were all naturally very shocked and upset. I'm very sorry for your loss there,
That's
Dean.
Very sad. So sorry. They
had been together for almost 40 years, so she is obviously devastated. A few months ago, we were out for dinner and we were having a chat. We're having a deep chat because me and my mother have always been very close. We both had a couple of drinks and I mentioned that I felt that when she was ready, she should consider dating again. I guess it came out clumsily. Thank you, cab. I think it's the cab Sav he's talking about.
Sorry, I didn't. It says cab say. I didn't cop that. Yeah.
But I think it's the cab Sav.
Okay.
Okay. It's in brackets. So in other words, there was a little bit of alcohol involved in it. But she was absolutely horrified. And I was so surprised that she reacted that way. She was really annoyed and upset. And she said some awful things that I clearly never felt anything for my father. And that maybe in Gayland, we could all move on after a relationship ends. But that isn't the way it works in the real world. Holy God.
Oh,
this was a reference to me separating from my partner. I did end up with someone else quite quickly, but that was just the luck of the draw. It really hurt me to hear my mother talk that way about me. It has made me question her support over the years. But all that aside, she is my mother and she is grieving. And I want to make this right. You can see why I needed the laugh. What do you think I should do? By the way, Niamh, I'm a massive fan. I wholly support the plan for you to do a new record. Please see the new Claire Richards album as a suggestion of what to do. From Dean.
Oh.
Dean, you're awful caring and lovely. Right. Are you going to answer from the gay situation or... And I'm going to do the mammy. I think this is very clearly delineated.
Oh, yeah, of course, actually. Look.
Are we going to reenact it?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk from the gay situation.
Okay.
Right? I don't think you should be caught up in the she saids of this.
I agree.
I think if you're a gay. If you're a gay.
Yeah.
One of the things about being gay is as you go along your journey, people say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And they just do.
And they don't mean it.
And they don't mean it. And as with the fullness of time, they regret it. Sometimes they apologize. Sometimes it's just an unspoken thing. But people say the wrong thing all the time.
Yeah.
And part of being gay and part of pride and all of that is you have to forgive.
Mm.
Because if you look at older gay people, much older than me, if they were to keep hold of everything that negative that somebody said about them, they'd never go outside the door, right? Now, I realize that we're in a different time and I realize that we're in a time where people say things and there's consequences left, right and center. I'm not sure what holding on to what your mother said, I'm not sure what can be gained from that. I think the overarching thing in all of this is you're both grieving and you're very
vulnerable.
It's very early in your grief.
In your process, yeah.
And I think that maybe not now, but at some point in the future, even if you never address this with your mother will feel terrible about this. And at some point in the future, she will also see the kindness that you showed her by saying that she should consider dating again. Because what you're saying to her is, hey, it ain't over.
I know.
You're fabulous. There's a second act in you. All of those things. But I guess, you know, you had a couple of drinks. Maybe you said it quite clumsily. Maybe she felt it was too early. Maybe it was too early. But who knows? What's done is done, right? But I don't think... And I can see why you would, but I don't think you should hold on to this. You can repair your relationship and just let that into the wind because I don't think it's going to do you any good. I don't think it's going to do her any good. And I don't think that going forward, this should be this big momentous landmine in your relationship. They're my thoughts.
Well done, Garo. That was absolutely beautiful.
Now, I know Niamh is probably going to say you should get some petrol thrown over the bitch.
No, no. Although that's normally your job, to be fair. At me to stop the legality of that situation, right? That's what I'm here for. I don't think that she necessarily is making judgment about the gay world or about you existing in that. I think she's clearly very accepting of you, because otherwise she wouldn't have been out for drinks in the first place, right?
Absolutely.
So I don't think you should question that. I understand why you would, because she hit this sore spot, and we're very good as mammies sometimes to go, well, you hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you back. So I'm going to find that little thing, right?
Okay.
And I think, you know, the reality is you're both hurting, grieving. The grief process is very different for everybody, as we know. But the reality is, your mammy said something in the heel of the hunt. Believe me, if I told you 500 things that my mother have said to me without putting our safety catches in place, which we all do in our very close family.
Of course.
The safety catches we put in for people we don't know.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I'd say that's what's happened here. She's been upset and you've gone away thinking about the wound that she's inflicted. But in a weird way, you inflicted a wound to her, but without knowing it, with the best of intention. And the truth is, if you're still sitting going, how do I make this right? It's obviously going on for a little while, you said there, 3 months ago, and it's not resolved. Big argument. Everything's been quite difficult. The first move is always hard.
And also, what he hasn't said, and it's kind of a key piece in all of this, is why is it not resolved? Is it not resolved because...
you haven't seen her?
You haven't seen her. Is it not resolved because she's rejected you trying to resolve it, or you've rejected her trying to resolve it?
Yeah. I think there's a very simple way of starting the conversation. And that is, I'm sorry if I hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I hurt you, Mum. I love you and I miss you. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
You know, and the reality is every mammy wants to hear those words.
And also, do you know... what you should take from this, right, is if you try and imagine the situation, right, her partner's died. Now, I know your father's died, and that's very sad. That is very, very sad.
It is very sad. But
it's horrific when a parent dies. Like, it's just absolutely horrific.
This is her life partner.
Let's just talk about her for a second. Her partner's passed away. She's living in this all of the time. And then she has this...
moment.
It's like a couple of hours where she's like, I'm out, I'm with my lovely son who I absolutely adore.
Mm.
We're having a drink. The world is great. We're really connected. We're having deep and meaningful conversations. And she gets to forget about all of the sadness. Right?
Yeah,
she, it floats away.
The chances are she's living in the same house. And so she's living it.
Of course.
Physically and emotionally.
And then you say something that obviously takes a lot of courage to say, but you say, do you know what? Like, I don't want you to feel... if there's a, you know, the, you know, if you want to go date, if you want to meet somebody else, I fully support that. And that's something that you worked up to saying, and well done.
Yeah,
courageous.
It is.
But to her, from her point of view, that is, I'm having this lovely moment. I'm away from all of this grief. And then all of a sudden,
it's all back.
It's both barrels.
Mm.
She got it, both barrels. And that's not your, that's, you know.
It's not your fault.
That's not your fault at all. That's just the, that's just
it's
an
just...
explanation of what happened. And she was so angry. Because she's not angry. She's not angry at you. She's angry that there is all of this grief in her life.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
God, so, that's so lovely the way you've understood that. No, seriously, I mean that. And those moments come up in our lives regularly.
Of course
they do. And because we don't put safety catches in when it comes to our families. Like, we don't. We're always doing it.
No, we don't.
We're
always doing it.
I mean, you know, when you love someone, you just, it's almost like you feel so secure of their love that you just don't put the safety catch on.
Yeah.
And then the problem is you don't even know how to resolve it because it's not something that you've done. But the reality is the first start is, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter who is right or wrong in the situation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry starts the conversation in the right place. I'm sorry. I love you. I miss you. That's it. And it's up to her. And it may take her time to find her way back to that. It may take her time. It may take you time. It doesn't mean that you're not hurting from what's happened and you're within your rights to feel hurt, maybe all of those things. But I have to say, that's where you need to start.
The longer this goes on, the harder it becomes to to broach it.
Yeah.
And I just think that this is a time when you both need each other. So today.
Oh, yeah. Dean.
Yeah. Today, Dean.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And also this, do you know what this is? This is also one of those times where don't expect anything from her.
No, it's
you're being the grown up here and you're going, I'm taking this on the chin. And even if you didn't, and I just want to say, I want to be really clear, I don't think you said the wrong thing at all. I think what you did was absolutely gorgeous. I think it's really nice. And I think
someday she will see
more,
that.
And more children should do that to their parents when a partner dies.
Yeah.
But what I think you should do is you should approach this as, I said the wrong thing.
You know,
and I apologize, and I'm very sorry, and yeah. I just hope you can see the love in what I did say.
But I think you see that whole what she threw back at you. That isn't necessarily representative of how she feels. And I see that you recognize that because you've said, you know, she's my mother, she's grieving, and I want to make this right. You know, so if you do, you've got to let all that go, and just see it as somebody lashing out in any way that they can think of. It doesn't mean that that's how she's feeling. She's just looking for ways to deflect the pain that she's feeling.
Yeah, of course. You know, that's all it is.
I know. But, you know, the reality is, just start, you know, I love you and I miss you. That's it. I mean, who can fight against that?
And then, also, do you know what the other thing?
What?
If it's not resolved.
Yeah.
Just remind her. Who's picking her home?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. It is a flex required.
Good.
Flex.
It was such a beautiful moment there for such a
long time. Well, he's had his beautiful options, but we also need to protect the man.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Just tell her. Make it clear. You'll give her the space and time she needs to recover from this.
Okay.
And to repair your relationship. If she doesn't, she's going to one of those awful primetime homes where they lock her onto the stairs.
Wow.
It's all she deserves. He doesn't mention if he's any brothers or sisters.
So he might not get to pick the home? Is that what that?
No,
that
it could be like he could be like the soul, you know.
He could be. Mm-hmm.
I like to think that a reasonable person will say, look at my wonderful son. He not only was he considerate enough to broach me having, you know,
a life. But he's going to pick me a nice home.
But also that he's willing to take it on the chin and come back and say he said the wrong thing, yeah, without even trying to justify what he said.
Well, you know, as a
that's
mother,
a real gift.
As a mother of sons, I have to tell you, you know, it means something to be able to talk to your children, you know,
yeah,
and male or female. But the reality is, she's probably missing you too.
Yeah, of course.
And sometimes you don't know how to get out of that space, and she could be still angry. But you don't have to say I was wrong, because you're not necessarily wrong.
No.
Maybe ill-timed. But
yeah.
But the reality is, you weren't necessarily wrong. But it's okay to say I'm sorry. And it's okay, more importantly, it's more than okay to say I love you and I miss you.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe if you, as I say, brochures.
And do you know what the other thing
terrible
is?
Terrible homes, yeah. Left around in the...
A
well-placed leaflet, you know how
exactly
I feel about that.
You do, Niamh. It's a great piece of advice. Shady Pines. If the other thing you could do, right?
Mm.
Say, for example, you go to her and she's not receptive and she's still angry. What you should encourage her to do is go, okay, but do you know what you should do? You should really talk about this to other people. This is not something you need to keep quiet.
Yeah.
What I would encourage you to do is to ring your brother or your sister or your friend and give out about me. And say, that my inconsiderate brat of a son, do you know what he said to me?
Mm.
Because what you'll find is the friend will go, do you know what? That sounds like a diamond.
Yeah.
You know, because what you did was good, but it's just her perspective on it she's struggling with.
And, you know, and there's no set time for that. But it is a lovely gift you've tried to give her. But, you know, that's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. And listen, let us know how you get on. Also, before we go, please see the new Claire Richards album as a suggestion of what to do. That album was all over my Instagram. Right. Do you know Claire Richards?
I'm glad you said that, because in my head I'm going, is she the one from Steps?
She is from Steps. But it's really funny because everyone's like, Claire Richards is back. And I was like, I'm not sure she ever went.
No, like, I wouldn't have thought so.
No, I was like, she's pretty, been but mind pretty you, I did consistently have to sit, around for about 30 years.
I did sit and think, which is Claire? Should I ask that question? And, but actually, I know she's the girl from Steps. She's a woman from Steps. She's not a girl.
She's a middle-aged woman from Steps.
She's fab though.
She's done an album of like all of the like the big diva numbers.
Oh, okay.
It's actually, now I have to say, she butchers some of them, but like she does now, in fairness. Now some of them you're like, Claire,
well, now grow, do you have a very
never
nice
never trust a stranger by Kim Wilde. Now nobody should touch that, but she does a very good version of Gloria.
Oh my god, Gloria.
Yeah.
Gloria.
Yeah.
Laura Branigan.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I know, it's a great song.
There's another good one on it. I can't remember. She does Euphoria. not great now.
No, see, not great. I have a problem with this, right? Because I think if you're going to revisit a song, you've got to be bringing who you are in the space. And Euphoria is so Loreen.
It's very Loreen,
and
yeah.
You haven't lived until you've seen Johnny Logan do his version.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see that.
He used to sing it. You might have done if you paid attention during the Eurovision tour when you came to see us. Because he did it.
I do just text when you're not on.
I know.
And I tell you what.
We came out with the feather boas.
Oh, I remember
that feather thing one time. Yeah.
He was very good.
He is very good.
Great show for your album.
Okay. Well, I go and have a look and
now
see.
No, don't
what's
listen
going
to
on.
All of it. Just tell me the ones you're going to listen to. I'll tell you what ones to skip because there's definitely a few fast forwards.
But I think it's fine in the songs that are iconic to you. The problem is if they are iconic songs. Now, Gloria, I get because that's a long time ago.
Gloria.
You know, it's a very long time ago and you don't hear it so
Spanish
much.
Spanish Eddie. Have you ever heard Spanish Eddie by Laura Branigan?
No.
That's a great song. The Night. Spanish Eddie cashed it in.
Oh, yes, I remember that song. Now that you sing it just exactly like that, I'm in the moment. You know, I'm going to say this, Dean. We're sending you all the love. As a mammy, I'm going to tell you, you live for your children to love you. And there's nothing but love in that sentence. So
absolutely.
Just tell her that you love her, you miss her. Honestly, we want that from our kids.
We do.
If my children are listening, which is very unlikely. They're only 20 and 22, but
zero
believe me, they are not.
They are not.
They're not listening. They're not telling me.
Why can't you be like other mothers?
Yeah.
Could have been a nurse.
You know, it's funny, actually, I was only talking to somebody the other day. The level of sarcasm I brought my children up with has prepared them so well for the world. They don't seem to be fazed by anything.
They're quite unflappable.
They are.
As children, they're quite unflappable.
They are never, amazing.
I have to say now, of all the times I've met them, they've never given me the time of day. And that's something I respect. Niamh, it's been wonderful.
It has been amazing.
It's been wonderful.
101.
Yeah. 101.
It's, I feel like there should be Dalmatians.
There should be. There should be, Niamh.
Does that make me Cruella? Can I be Cruella? I'd love to be Cruella.
Never.
Sorry.
Headstuff Plus. We'd love you to subscribe. Our first episode of Vintage Rants dropped last Thursday.
So fun.
If you're a subscriber,
yeah,
you can get it right now into your hot little ears. And we've loads of episodes recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know what you think. agonyrants@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
Chat soon.
Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.